Well, today is a special day. As we know, it's Veterans Day, what it used to be called. Armistice Day, that's right. Back in November 11th, 1919, it was the 11th, three 11s, wasn't it, that started that off at the end of World War I. I remember a cartoonist wrote once, if that was the war to end all wars, why did they number it? But anyway, inquiring minds would like to know that, right? Maybe they knew something, right? Well, we know that November 11, 1919 was the first anniversary, and then Congress passed a resolution in 1926 for an annual observance on November 11th, and it became a national holiday in 1938. But there is a connection to Kansas that I didn't know that Nancy made me aware of today, and it involves Emporia, Kansas, with Veterans Day. In 1945, World War II veteran Raymond Weeks of Birmingham, Alabama, began a personal crusade to turn Armistice Day into a state holiday honoring all veterans. And the idea quickly took hold, and in 1953, in Emporia, Kansas, shoe store owner named Al King, Al King took up the torch to make it a national holiday. I didn't know this. The Emporia Chamber of Commerce joined his crusade, and the very next year, Emporia-born Congressman Edward Reese introduced a bill to create Veterans Day. It was signed by a president who just happened to be a retired Army man from Kansas himself, Dwight Eisenhower. He said, there's a little note here, proving once again that if you want to get something done fast in Washington, let a military vet from the Midwest handle it. Amen. I think that's great, all right? Hallelujah. Well, we take this day very seriously. Unlike Memorial Day, Veterans Day is a day we pay tribute to all American soldiers, whether living or dead. But we especially pause to give thanks to living veterans who have served our country through our military, both in wartime and peacetime. In just a moment, we're going to call some of our veterans to come forward this morning because we want to present them with a special token of our appreciation. But to prepare us for that presentation, I want to show this video in their honor.
There are sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers, our grandparents, neighbors, and friends. They served in 1,000 different ways in places spanning the globe, watching, waiting, and ready at a moment's notice to give what was asked of them. So now we pause to express our gratitude and love toward those who served. Each swore a sacred oath to protect, and each bravely stood in our place around the world, all so that we could stand secure in the land of the free. Words like sacrifice, honor, commitment, integrity, bravery, and courage hardly scratch the surface of our gratitude for their service. While our words fail against the enormity of expressing our thanks for all you've done, we still raise our voices and honor you in our hearts, which are filled with the deepest kind of gratitude. To all of you, we pause to say, God bless you, and thank you for your service.
And I'm going to ask Connie to help me this morning. We're going to call. We pass a clipboard around to get names of folks who've served in the military, and we have those names. And there may be others here this morning. We want to honor all of you. And so those that we know about, we're going to call your name and ask you to come. Hank, if you'll come up. Hank served as a sergeant in the United States Army. Would you put your hands together for him? Zacchaeus is giving out the stuff today, so you got to bend down a little lower. Here, you give that to him too. Babe. Is Terry Unruh here today? Yes. Terry, would you come up? Terry was a specialist E4 in the United States Army. We want to honor him today. Kenny Collins is here. I thought I saw him. Yes, Kenny was Army Airborne Sergeant E5. Is Art Sidebottom here? Art, come on up here. A Navy man. Sir, what is a SK2? What does that mean?
Storekeeper second class.
Storekeeper second class. All right. We appreciate your service. Thank you. You guys weren't wearing glasses when they enlisted you, were you?
No.
I know this guy's here. Fred Magnuson, my neighbor. Glory to God. Fred is SH2. Fred was on the carrier that picked up the astronauts when they flashed down in the ocean. So he got to be the first to see the astronauts when they came back to Earth. Has it all on film, too. Here you go.
We need more like Fred.
Yeah, I noticed you guys were able to do that without it. Okay. Chris Vance, U.S. Air Force, a technical sergeant. Amen. Is there anybody else here who didn't get signed up on the clipboard, but you're here this morning? We want to honor you today, too. Come on over here, brother. And what branch of the service did you?
Air Force.
Air Force, all right. There's also a little keychain in there for you, too, that you can put your dog tag on. You know, some heroes wear capes, but our heroes this morning wear dog tags. And we're appreciative of them. Would you stand to your feet, please, and just put your hands together? Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to hear some military stories today. I know a lot of our vets don't talk much about their experiences. You have to kind of pull it out of them, but they've seen things and experienced things that most of us can't even imagine, and we appreciate you so much. I know I was talking to Robert last night. He said his dad was on a ship during World War II that was dive bombed by kamikaze pilots. And everyone on the ship died except three men, of which his father was one. Amazing. I know there are some people who have survivor's guilt over things like that. Why did I live and others die? But there's been great sacrifice. I think it's great to thank people for their service, but you want to thank them for their sacrifice too. Now, most will say, oh, yeah, but I didn't give the ultimate sacrifice. That's true. There are levels of sacrifice, but everyone left their families, their businesses, they made sacrifice. And sacrifice is the heartbeat of our veterans. And we appreciate them, and we call them heroes today. Make sure you thank them not just for their service, but for their sacrifice as well. We will never forget. All right, that's awesome. Also, as some of you know, last Sunday, Monday, Chantel gave birth to her baby, and it was stillborn. And we just love them so much. We want to stand with them. Saturday, we're going to have a graveside service at Resurrection Cemetery at 10 a.m. And then at noon or 11:30, something like that, we're going to have a luncheon here. If you can help us with that for their family, we just want to gather around them. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. And so please just respond as God leads you. There's not a lot you can say, but we can cry together. Because the deeper we love, the deeper we grieve. So I encourage you, that as part of the family of God, what happens to one of us happens to all of us, as we talked about last week. Well, today when we gather, we want to talk about becoming good soldiers of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of metaphors used throughout Scripture to help us understand our new life in Christ. And I thought it appropriate, since today is Veterans Day, to consider the words of Paul that he wrote to Timothy, exhorting him about this very thing, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy verses 2, 3 through 4, Paul penned these words to young Timothy. Remember, this is a guy, he said, don't let anybody despise your youth. I think he was a little timid maybe. And so Paul was trying to build him up. Just before these words, he said, be strong in the strength of the Lord and in his might. And then he said this to Timothy. He said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He goes on to use other metaphors, athletes, farmers, but this one we want to key on today because he's exhorting Timothy to be a soldier. In fact, this is not the last time that Paul would use this metaphor, this very concept he used in Philippians 2:25 and Philemon 1:2, when he called those who ministered with him fellow soldiers. And I hope you'll look at the body of Christ like that today, that we are fellow soldiers. And I want to just start out by saying it's an honor to serve with you. Because we have been, now, depending on what theology you hold, he says we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and he says we've been enlisted. Well, if you're a Calvinist, you were drafted. If you're an Arminian, you enlisted. Okay, either way, you're in the army, all right? You remember the song we sang as kids, right? I'm in the Lord's army. Well, it's true. We really are. We don't think of that much, but Paul used that metaphor a lot. The Christian life in Scripture is often referred to as fighting the good fight of faith. Very military terminology. In Ephesians 6, we'll read it later, we're exhorted to what? Put on the whole armor of God. Why didn't he say, let's wear a suit or let's dress? No, he said, listen, he's trying to tell us something, that we are in a battle. Is that correct? It seemed clear from these writings that our walk of faith is not a pleasure cruise. And I love cruising. Anybody here like to cruise? What do you like most about cruising? I like it because all your meals are taken care of. Somebody makes your bed every day. They even leave a little animal on your bed with some... How many of you don't stay anywhere unless there's a chocolate on your pillow, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's not what this is. And if last Sunday wasn't enough to convince you of that, I don't know what will. But this is not a pleasure cruise. We're not on a pleasure ship. We're on a battleship. We're not on a walk in the park or a Sunday picnic. We are on the battlefield. And there are hidden mines. Have you found out that yet? There are mines hidden everywhere, and snipers. They're always shooting at us. Just like we shared last Sunday. In fact, I just would like to pause for a minute about last Sunday. Is Brian Whitmore here? He's not. He sent me an email this week. Now, when we selected the two prisoners that we were going to write to, Diana and I just picked them. There were many. And Brian sent me a letter, and he said, I don't know how you picked John Cow, but he said, we personally know people in relationship with him, and the school where he works, that's a prisoner that they support. And he sent to me a letter from his wife. Would you like to hear it? Her name is Jamie. She said, today is the 5th of October. It marks 19 months since Pastor John was first arrested. Many of you have been praying for John all this time, but you don't hear much news about him. I have not heard from him directly either, but do get messages passed to me via his lawyers who travel to visit with him once in a while. I want to give you updates whenever I can and let you know I'm willing to answer any questions. He says, friends of John have helped us advocate for him, and the U.S. Department of State has also been very helpful. The State Department invited me to speak at a ministerial religious freedom conference in July, and I had 5 minutes in front of hundreds of people who work in the field of religious freedom. The Secretary of State and the Vice President of the United States were also there on the platform to speak with me and are very aware of John's situation. John is not in a comfortable place, yet his habits of self-discipline serve him well. He is reading and writing poetry. He is praying and exercising, even though he has little food and no bed. He endures back pain and toothaches and other conditions, but with the help of the Holy Spirit to comfort him. Would you please write to him? Sure. Little does she know, we're going to write okay, and we want to encourage you, put your letters back there. She also gave us a suggestion we never thought of, because we were addressing all the envelopes in English. She said, do that, but then she gave us the address in Chinese, and we're to paste that onto the envelope too. We wouldn't have done that without this letter, so praise the Lord. Just as a piggyback to that, I don't know how many of you know Steve Miller. Anybody know Steve? Some of us do here. Steve works in China a lot. And I got this text from him just yesterday. He said, I'm preparing to leave for China this week. In recent months, the Chinese government has markedly increased the pressure on Christians throughout the country. A close partner received a report from a longtime China missionary stating that 314 house church Christians have been killed in recent months, and hundreds more are missing. This includes two personal friends who we know who are missing at this time. He said foreign missionaries are also being targeted. More than 100 have been arrested and told to leave the country, including in the past week, a longtime friend who spent 22 years in China was given 72 hours to pack, and he was told he cannot return for 5 years. His charge was being a religious spy and disrupting the stability of the society. He said, some will ask, then why am I going? Doesn't seem like an opportune time, does it? He said, a common tactic of our spiritual foe is to paralyze us with fear through intimidation. Our natural response is to pull back, to be more cautious, to delay plans, and don't take risk. The opposite response can be reckless and arrogant by jumping ahead and assuming God will take care of us. What is the balance? I feel it comes from a foundation of intimacy with God. With no agendas, we listen, we watch, we follow His lead. We come alongside God, and being led by His Spirit, we may pause, walk, or even run with Him. Isn't that awesome? Are those soldiers? Those are soldiers. And when you look at what we are going to consider today, I think you will agree. We want to look at four marks of a good soldier. You have an insert that you can follow along with today and insert the information we're about to share with you. There are more than four marks, but I've chosen four that I pick up from these scriptures we read today. What is it that makes us a good soldier? I guess there's a such thing as a bad soldier. Yeah. But God, we're being called to be good soldiers. So what are the four marks of a good soldier? Here's mark number one. And Paul said it to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Someone endures is somebody who never gives up. They never give up. In Hebrews 10, I want to read this for you, in verses 32 through 39, we see this same spirit being communicated, where he says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated or enlightened, do you remember when you were enlightened? You endured a great struggle with sufferings. The word endurance there means to remain under without being crushed. Anybody here ever experienced that? So oftentimes when we're in tough situations like he's describing here, or which soldiers experience, it's not a cakewalk. Oftentimes you are under attack. You're in very stressful situations, and we're being called to remain under. Do not move. Do not retreat. Do not pull back. That is a good soldier, right? He goes on, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. So a good soldier does not draw back A good soldier does not retreat. A good soldier never gives up, but endures hardship. Hebrews 12:1, we know this scripture well, don't we? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Any runners here? You know about this endurance. You know, sometimes it's called the second wind, isn't it? Where you just think, I can't take another step, but you press on and you do it. My daughter will probably remember. I know it's hard to believe, but I used to jog. And I used to jog down Meridian, remember? And I would put April on a bicycle. And I'd tell her to ride behind me, and if I slowed down, to hit me with the bike, with the tire of the bike. She said, Dad, I can't do that. Well, it didn't take long, and she was enjoying the process. I think she says no, but I think she sped up. That's my personal opinion. But I didn't want that tire to hit me. But it was a great motivator. You know what I mean? How many of you need endurance is a motivator. When we press on, we're not going to give up. No matter what, we're going to keep on going. And sometimes God will give us people to help us. In Romans 5:3, it's not on the screen. We know the scripture because I believe soldiers are trained for endurance. That's what boot camp's all about, right, guys? When you go to boot camp, it's pretty intense. It's not summer camp. It's not VBS. It's a go, go, go. And it's stretching you to the edge of your abilities. Why are they doing that? For the purpose of endurance. Romans 5:3 says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. I want to read for you here a soldier's creed from the United States Army. No offense against the other branches, but this is the one I found, and this is the creed. I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior's tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I'm a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. Forgive me if I take my liberties, but I rewrote this just a little bit for us soldiers here today. I am a Christian soldier. I am a warrior, a member of a team. I serve the kingdom of God and live the Christian values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat, and I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically, mentally, and spiritually tough, trained and proficient in my warrior's tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am a constant learner, striving for greater levels of proficiency. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the kingdom of God in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the Christian way of life. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. We are called as soldiers to that very creed of endurance. Did you see endurance in there? That's what we're... Here's number two. Are you ready? Good soldiers are mission focused. In Hebrews 12:2, the second verse of Hebrews 12 that we read earlier, the writer goes on after he talks about running with endurance. He says, look unto Jesus. And that word look is to focus. Not just to glance at him, but to really focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God on his throne. 2 Timothy 2:4, we read it earlier. He said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Our whole purpose is to please the one who enlisted us as soldiers. And we are to be mission focused. One of the things that takes us away from the mission is when we get entangled in the world. And good soldiers can't have their feet in both places. They have to be focused on the mission at hand. Is that right? Mark 4, verses 18 through 19. Still others, he's talking about, remember the parable of the sower? And there was seed that fell on hard ground, the thorny places, the shallow ground, and good soil. Jesus explains what that parable means, and he talks about the seed that falls into the thorny ground. And he says this, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we have to be mission focused. And some of the things that try to take us away from the mission are the cares of this life. And a real soldier is focused on his mission. We need to get untangled if we're going to be good soldiers. I found another, again, U.S. Army, sorry guys. I found a quote from a field manual. And if you're in the Army, you know 22-100. In the field manual, it seems to be popular among those who are in active military activity, especially in leadership. There is a section. It's called Providing Purpose. This is what it says. Purpose gives soldiers a reason why they should do dangerous things under stressful circumstances. It focuses soldiers' attention and effect on the task or mission at hand, enabling them to operate in a disciplined manner in your absence. Soldiers can best relate to a task of mission if they know the ultimate purpose for their actions. One of the things that separates the American military from other groups is that our soldiers have the ability to understand not just the what, but the why. And when they understand the why, and things don't go according to plan, they're able to function independently. What do they say? In your absence. Because the purpose, the mission, is clear. Baron Frederick von Steuben came to the United States in 1778 at General Washington's request. His mission was to help develop organization, control, discipline, and teamwork in the Revolutionary Force. He said the American soldiers do best when they know why they are doing something. This observation of over 200 years ago still remains valid. So it's important for us as good soldiers of Jesus Christ that we understand not just the what, but the why of our mission, and that the purpose is clear to us. We're not just wandering around soldiers doing their own thing, but we are an organized group who have a plan and a purpose that those who enlisted us have put into play. And when we understand it the way we should, we will become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Here's number three. A good soldier, they know their enemy. They know their enemy. Ephesians 6:12, familiar scripture. We know it. I'm not sure we believe it, but here's what it says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How many believe that scripture? He's making it very clear that we are in a battle, but it's not with each other. In fact, one of the saddest casualties in war is friendly fire. Nothing's worse than to lose a loved one and find out that he lost his life at the hands of his fellow soldiers. But so oftentimes that's what happens, isn't it? Even in the church, we have this denominational spirit of competition where, and let me tell you, I think it's kind of like in the military today. We saw Air Force, we saw Army, in the early service we had one Marine, and National Guard. We have all these branches. Isn't that what the church is like? Do we have a lot of branches? We do. But is it all really one military? It is. Now, our branch members, are you proud of your branch? You are, aren't you? Hey, I'm Army, man. I'm Navy. Yeah, who's number one? We're going to argue about that, right? But the reality is we all have one mission and one purpose. And so oftentimes in the church we forget that. And we need to be reminded and we need to know who our enemy is so you don't waste your time as a soldier fighting the wrong enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. In your marriage, your enemy is not your partner. Your enemy is not your children. Your enemy is not your coworkers. See, we get the enemy wants us, even in church, to be in conflict with one another. Listen, the greatest impact you can have on a military force is to divide that force. If you could divide that force, then you're gonna have difficulties, right? 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Why? Verse 11. In order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. See, a good soldier knows his enemy. He knows his schemes. Sometimes I wonder, as I talk to people, minister to people, it's like we are blinded to what I see us fighting all these battles that are unnecessary. And we've been pulled away. The enemy's duped us. Instead of really fighting the battle, the mission at hand, we get pulled off into side scrimmages that really don't matter. It happens in your families, in your home. And I want to shake my soldiers. Hey, the mission, be mission focused, okay? You're getting sidetracked here. Connie and I, we were talking first service. We were in Rome, Italy years ago. It was during the war, during the conflict in Kuwait. And we ministered there at the International Church with Terry Hoggard. And there were like 8 different nationalities in this church. Chilakans, Filipinos, Italians, Americans, Russians. I preached in English, and you could hear all these languages going at the same time in this cathedral. And so it was an awesome experience. And in that congregation was a United States Army colonel who was stationed at the NATO War College in Rome, Italy. And he invited us to his home for soup and sandwich. And so we went. And it was a fascinating time. And we sat, talked, we wanted to know all about what was happening in the military. But I remember, I was trying to remember all 4 points. I can't remember. I remember 3 of them. He was talking about there are principles in the natural, in the military process that are true spiritual. He was a Christian. And so I asked him, well, what are they? And he said, well, the first thing is you're not defeated till the last man surrenders. That was number 1. And number 2, he said you need to stay on mission. You need to, until your orders change, follow the last orders that you've received. Sound reasonable? Yeah. And then the last one he shared, I thought was fascinating. He said, when you have the enemy on the run, he said, chase him. He said, we did not do that in Kuwait. And because of that, we had to deal with things later. Do you remember what happened? How we went so far and then President Bush cut it off, right? I got to thinking about that in my own life, and I thought, you know, I'd do that exact thing. Because sometimes, you know, when I'm fighting the enemy, and there he is, and I chase him for a while, but once he's out of my comfort zone, I stop. Maybe what we really need to do is pursue just a little bit farther. And not stop, because then he just goes to that safe place, and we retreat. A good soldier will pursue. 1 Peter 5:8, again, not on the screen, but you know it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I know we've been through seasons in the church, and I have personally. I went through the season where there was a demon in every doorknob, and pigs in the parlor, you remember that, and those kind of things. And I think it served a purpose because it woke us up to the reality of who our enemy really is, and that there is an open portal to the dark side. And it's real. It's very real. And there are demons that move and operate in our midst. But you don't need to be afraid, because you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I've got some great news for you, that the enemy's been defeated. And we are here to administer defeat. And this, yes, he is a lion, and yes, he roars. I don't know if this is true. Somebody told me this the other day. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but someone told me that when the lions hunt, the male will make all the noise, but it's the female who gets the prey. Is that true? That's what I've heard. And that the male lion kind of distracts you with his roar, and it's a good roar, you know, and you're so focused on him, you don't see her sneaking up behind you. I think that's where we need to know our enemy. We need to know how he functions and be wise concerning the things that are happening around us. In the one context, it was about forgiveness. Don't be naive. This bitterness that you have, this unforgiveness you have, it's the enemy trying to harden your heart. Don't fight people. Fight him. Focus correctly. And that was one of the things the colonel told us. We need to know who our real enemy is. Here's number 4, okay? This is an important one. We don't just know our enemy, but we know our weapons. A good soldier knows their weapons. This scripture, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, we know that Israel's being attacked. Jehoshaphat's there, and they're all bummed out because they are way outnumbered. And they're not sure what to do about it, and they begin to seek the Lord. Because in the natural, they know what's going to happen. They're going to be defeated. They're going to be overrun. But they go to the Lord, and God gives them a battle plan. And this was it, as crazy as it sounds. He said, "You will not need to fight in this battle." That's good news. Let's just stop there, right? All right, thank goodness. I was hoping not. But I want you to position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah of Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I believe this has so much application in our life. When you understand what your weapons are, you know that you're fighting in the might of Jehovah, God. It's not my might and strength, it's His, right? And He's saying, listen, I'm going to fight this battle, but I still need you to position yourself for the battle. I need you to stand in place. I don't know about you, but if I got those orders, I'd say, well, I'll just stay home and read about it in the paper in the morning, how well God did, and He'll get all the glory. Well, yeah, true, but God wants us involved in the battle. We are His soldiers. In Ephesians 6, you know this scripture well. We referred to it. The writer talks about putting on the whole armor of God. We used to have in our kitchen, I don't know what happened to it, we had a spring cleaning day, and I don't know where it went, but we used to have on the door going into the garage the whole armor of God. And we had a sign above it that said, don't leave home without it. Because it was acknowledging a reality that I'm not going on a cruise. I'm not going on a Sunday walk. I'm going to battle. And I must not leave home without it if this is really true. And the writer in Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he talks about not wrestling against flesh and blood, which we read. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are there going to be evil days? That's right. There are. Don't be deceived about it. We want to ignore that. No, there are two forces at work in this world. And you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you've been called to stand. And how are you going to do that? You're going to stand in the evil day, and after you've done all to stand, you're going to stand. That's endurance, isn't it? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance, endurance, and supplication for all the saints. Well, it's pretty clear to me. I don't know about you, but he's telling us we're in a war. And you don't want to go to battle, not properly. Part of your weaponry is how you're dressed. All right? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. This is a scripture that was used by General William Boykin. He was a special ops commander at Fort Bragg. He was in charge of training special ops. He's a Christian. And he was talking to a group of men one day, and he used this scripture. And he told a story. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Anybody got any strongholds you need pulled down? You will not do it in the flesh. You will not. You can go to all the counseling you want. You can have all the money that you can get your hands on. You can make all your plans, but it is the power of God that will tear down strongholds in your life. And let me tell you, God showed me something once in my own life. I was undergoing one time a real attack of the enemy, and I couldn't understand. I just had a difficult time fighting it. And the Lord showed me one day this great field with many acres of ground. And it was beautiful. And God said, this is all yours. But there was this one acre, and it had this ugly building on it. And it's like the Spirit was speaking to me, Joe, that's a fortress in your life. It's a stronghold. And that's where the enemy lives. And you gave him legal right to be there. You gave him opportunity. And so he uses that as his base of operation. He comes out and he strikes you over here. And then he goes back to his stronghold. And I'm standing there going, what, how'd that happen, what, where, what? And through a sequence of events, the Lord really showed me, listen, you gave him legal right, and only someone with greater authority can evict him. And I'm going to give you weapons that will tear that stronghold down, because it cannot exist. It must be leveled so that he cannot have an opportunity to work in my life. And it was very important. He says, we're going to cast down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want you to know, the biggest part of your battle is right up here. It's in your mind, isn't it? Well, General William Boygan told this story, and it was during the Afghan conflict. He said there was in Afghan, there was a Taliban position that was heavily entrenched. And he said the local Afghan tribes had tried and tried to overcome this position, but there was only one problem. They had the big guns, and they were dug in, and they were way up high, and everything else was wide open space, so they had the high ground. And for months, they tried and couldn't get through. And so they received word from the United States that they were going to send some troops to help them. They were pretty excited about that, as he tells this story. And he said the tribal leaders were just, hey, the Americans are coming, and we're gonna make some headway here. And up over the hill walks 12 soldiers. Just 12. Said there was no tanks, no heavy armory, no Humvees, just sidearms and rifles. And he said that the Afghan tribal leaders began to laugh and say, this is what you're gonna send us? I mean, we've been fighting these guys all this time. We haven't gained an inch. And you send us 12 guys with sidearms and rifles? Well, they didn't say much to them. They said, well, they started unpacking their gear. And the point man asked the tribal leader, well, where's the heaviest place of resistance? And he pointed. He said, it's up on that hill up there. They're dug in. They got the big guns over there. That's the most difficult place. He said, okay. He reached in his bag and he pulled out a laser. And he did what we call painting the target. It's also called a force multiplier. And he painted this target on the hill. He turned to the Afghan leader and said, you better take cover. He said, within minutes, this roaring sound came over them and the enemy was neutralized. Who here has targets today you need to paint? And you've been fighting and fighting and fighting. You say, I haven't even gained an inch. In fact, I've lost some ground. You don't know your weapons. You've been fighting in the flesh. And God has made available to you these weapons that will tear down strongholds. And I believe the enemy has strongholds and fortresses. I'm not here to debate how it happened or how it was established in your life or what happened. I'm just here to tell you, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. You are a good soldier, and you need to know your weapons. They have been made available to you, and it's a shame not to use them. But we do it. I see it all the time. I meet with people, and I'm thinking, why are you stuck in this place? Don't you realize what God's given to you? And so the general told this story to these men, and he challenged them that day. Listen, it's God's power. It's the power of God's weapons. We just need to paint the target. And so I want to encourage you today to paint the target. And we're going to come to the table of the Lord today in this spirit. This is very important for you to know, that you're not fighting for victory, but you're fighting from victory. In fact, listen to this. In Colossians, the second chapter, verses 13 through 15, as our worship leaders come, listen to these words. And you, me, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made you alive with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross. You ready for verse 15? Do you believe this really happened? Having disarmed, who's our enemy? Principalities and powers? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Here's the reality. The enemy was disarmed at Calvary. The only bullets he has is the ones you give him. And it's really crazy. I see it every day. People giving bullets, he shoots them with them. And they wonder, how's this possible? Well, where did he get the ammo? You gave it to him. Fight from victory, not for victory. We already have it. The battle's already won. That's what he's trying to tell Jehoshaphat. Listen, I'm going to fight this battle, but you do need to stand there and take your position. It's important. But trust me in it, because I have already done the work for you. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, trust in the one who called you. Why? That you might please the one who enlisted you as a soldier. I only serve for one purpose. It is to please the one who enlisted me. I'm not here of my own accord. I'm honored to serve with all my fellow soldiers. But I serve the one who enlisted me. And he's already run the battle. I just need to position myself, take a place of endurance. I need to understand my mission and stay focused on it. Don't let the enemy draw you off. That was one of the things the colonel told us. Don't let the enemy, he'll try to flank you, and you're going to go chase him off, and you're going to get off track. Stay on target. Stay mission focused. Know your enemy. Stop fighting the wrong enemies, and know your weapons and use them. Amen. We're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning. This is our place of victory. Without this, we'd be on our own. But because of this table, we stand in victory today. I want you to celebrate that. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe the Holy Spirit's enlisting you today into this army. You say, man, I don't know. I don't have much. No. No, you don't. But I know who does have everything we need. And this is the place where we start. This is where we become mission focused today. I don't care what kind of situation you're dealing with, whether it's family problems, financial problems, you're having conflict in relationships, or maybe even at church. Wow. Doesn't matter. Make sure you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen. You want to be a good soldier? I don't want to be an average soldier. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to please the one who enlisted me. Father, we come to this table this morning, and we drink of this cup, and we take this bread, and we realize the victory that's already been declared for us, that all of our sins are forgiven. And because of this table, the enemy, principalities, and powers has been disarmed. They've been totally disarmed. And you have triumphed over him. And we stand in the shadow of that triumph today. We love you. We love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle, take the bread and dip it in the cup, and then make your way back to your seat again before we dismiss. God bless you as you come. Many of us remember the story of SEAL Team 6 when they took down Bin Laden. Many books have been written, a lot of things have been said about it. But those who were present that day, when the mission was completed, over the radio came this transmission, Charlie Mike, Charlie Mike. And if you're in the military, you know what that means, because that's a call sign, and it simply means, and it's at the end of every mission, this is how it concludes. It means continue mission. They were done with that, but the mission still wasn't over. So I say to you, my fellow soldiers, Charlie Mike, continue mission. What is our mission? Our Charlie Mike is simply this. Continue to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Would you stand with me, please? As we prepare to leave this place, we go continuing the mission. You want to be a good soldier? We're then we're going to endure, aren't we? We might endure some tough things, but we will not give up and we will move forward because we fight from victory, amen, not for victory. We're going to be mission focused. Some of you need to really hear this. You need to get focused on what's really going on in your life and make sure you're on target for the mission that God has called you to. You live in this time and this place for some reason, and I believe God's enlisted you for purposes that you may not totally understand yet, but you need to stay mission focused as we move forward. Know your enemy and know your weapons. Know your weapons. I'm begging you, pick them up and use them. Some of you need to paint some targets this week. Some strongholds. I don't want to name them, but you know what they are. But I can name a few of them for you. How about pornography? Yeah, that's a stronghold. The enemy will clean your clock. You say, I fought that, Pastor. I fought that, and I just can't get it. You need to paint the target. For the weapons that are going to help you are mighty in God. You cannot do it by yourself. Amen? Amen? Some of you may have problems with substance abuse. Say, I don't know, Pastor. I fought it and fought it. Prayed and prayed. You need to paint the target today. God wants you to be free. Amen? Maybe you have some other issues going on in your life that nobody knows anything about. You already have the victory. You just need to call in. Call in the stuff that's, take cover, it's coming. Get out of the way, God's going to do it. But you need to position yourself, amen? Yeah, I don't know what God's speaking to you right now, okay? I know He's talking to you, I don't know. God's saying different things to some of you. Listen to the one who enlisted you and say, yes, sir, I'm going to do this thing, amen? If you're here today, you need prayer before you leave. I'm going to stay behind with some others. We'll pray with you. Maybe you need some help painting the target. We'll help you do that. We'll help you do that today. You just need somebody to agree in prayer with you. You're through fighting in the flesh. You're ready. You're ready to take those weapons that God's given to you that are not carnal but mighty in God. And you're ready to take every thought captive and change the course of your life and become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to gather here together today. We are fellow members of your army. We are serving together as fellow soldiers. And it is an honor to serve with my brothers and sisters. I pray, Father, we'll catch the vision and that we will understand today that the mission is before us and you've already got it laid out and we're going to walk it and be mission focused. We love you and we love each other in Jesus' name. Amen. Charlie Mike. God bless you. Continue the mission. We love you.